Please open your copies of God's Word to Hebrews chapter 4. Our text today, Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for this wonderful treasure that you have given us. And Lord, we pray that you would take this word today as we look at words, instruction, teaching, admonition about our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, drive these words, these concepts, this truth deep into our hearts. Give us assurance and peace, knowing that we have such a great high priest. Lord, we pray this day that we would hear your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. As we've looked at the words of the book of Hebrews over the last couple of weeks, there may have been some words which have given you pause, perhaps caused you some unease. The apostle said things like, we should fear. We should fear lest we come short of entering God's rest. He said that the former ones who had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Who of you have not been disobedient? Who of you have not disobeyed God's word? He said we should make every effort to enter God's rest so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. Then we saw that the Word of God penetrates even to the thoughts and attitudes, the secret things we keep inside us. Our obedience may look perfect on the outside, but nothing, he said, nothing is hidden from God. Everything is laid bare. The deepest secrets of your heart are laid bare before him. One to whom we must give an account. The one to whom we must answer. All this could work to make one very uneasy. And rightfully so. Therefore, he says, therefore, for all those reasons, we should be drawn to our great and merciful high priest. Our attention is drawn first to the supremacy and name of our high priest. Back in chapter 3 and verse 1, the apostle declared that Jesus is the apostle and high priest we confess. Now the apostle calls him our great high priest. Aaron was chosen by God as the great priest of Israel. He was the father, so to speak, of the high priest in Israel who were to follow him. He was also a type, a foreshadowing, a pale reflection of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come. The apostle now says we have a high priest just like those Israelites of old. But he says ours has gone through the heavens. What does he mean, has gone through the heavens? Heavens can be understood in two ways. Obviously, it's the place of God's dwelling, the home of saints and angels. But the Lord Jesus did not pass through this heaven. He entered into it. But heavens can also mean the sky, the air above us, the place of the sun, the moon, and the stars. I believe this makes much more sense in the immediate context. When Jesus ascended from the presence of the disciples in Acts chapter 1, they stood looking up into heaven. They certainly weren't peering into the heavenly realms. They were looking up into the sky. Jesus passed through the heavens to enter into heaven itself. And in our Old Testament reading this morning, Pastor Haley read you just a little bit ago, we saw a foreshadowing of this in the duties of Aaron on the Day of Atonement. The one time each year when he entered into the very presence of the Lord, first he went out of sight of the people. He went into the holy place where only the priest could go. Secondly, then he went behind the curtain into the most holy place to make atonement for the sins of the people and for his own sins. And third, the place he entered was into the very presence of the Lord, in front of the mercy seat, where God appeared in the cloud above the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus went out of sight. He went behind the veil into the holy place, the holy place not made with hands, there to offer a sacrifice of his own blood for the sins of his people. He entered into the very presence of God as our mediator, his priesthood, as we will see later in this book, was as much superior to the priesthood of Aaron as heaven is superior to the earthly tabernacle. The book of Hebrews uses this type of the high priest in the Old Testament and his function on the Day of Atonement. Show a solidarity of Christ who is greater than any high priest. To show his solidarity with his people. And there is no doubt. There's no doubt about the identity of our high priest. For the apostle tells us he is Jesus, the Son of God. His name is Jesus, the name the angel told Joseph to give him. You shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He is the Son of God, as Gabriel told Mary, his mother. He is the Son of the Most High God. He is the eternal Son of God. This is our great high priest. And since we have such a great high priest, the apostle says, we must hold firmly to our confession. This is a repetition of what he said in chapter 3, verse 6, down in verse 14. We confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that all power and authority have been given to him, that he is the mediator of the covenant, that he is the king, prophet, priest of his church, as we confessed earlier. We must hold firmly to this. This must be our confession against all kinds of opposition, against every kind of ridicule and unbelief leveled at Christ and at his church. It is our duty, but such duty often goes unmet and unanswered. We are frail, weak, fearful in our confession. We cringe before the onslaught of the world. We must have God's help. We must cry out to our Lord and King for the help we need. But how can sinful creatures implore God for help in anything? How dare we approach the throne of grace? Remember the Lord's warning to Aaron. Don't just come into the most holy place. Don't just come in here into the presence of the Lord. Because if you do, you will die. But because of Christ, we are encouraged to approach the throne of grace, the mercy seat, boldly. The apostle tells us why in the next verse. The apostle gives us in verse 15 the qualifications of our great high priest. These show he is qualified to represent us and encourage us to go to him. The apostle tells us, although he was the Son of God, he was tempted in every way as we are. He has experienced in his own human flesh all that we can feel. He was hated. He was betrayed. He was accused falsely. He experienced sadness and grief, hunger and thirst, not to mention all the assaults of the devil, all the attacks of those in power, both civil and religious leaders. You remember his words to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul, who was actively persecuting the church. Saul, who was hauling Christians in to be tried and condemned to death. You know what he said? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He acutely knows, feels our pain, our sadness, our frustration, disappointment. It is indeed such things that press in upon our lives. These are the things which oftentimes tempt us to sin. So often, we use such troubles as an excuse to sin, to doubt God, to disobey his commands. But not so with our great high priest. No matter the manifold temptations which assaulted him, none of them affected him in the slightest degree. In the greatest of temptations, of every kind, severity, duration, of which we may experience, he also experienced, and he was absolutely without sin. Such was his perfect obedience to God. But because Jesus Christ, our great high priest, was tempted in these manifold ways, he is able to sympathize with us. Now that word, sympathize, may be interpreted as to have compassion or to suffer with or to be touched with a feeling. To sympathize with someone is to be concerned about their troubles, their pain, their sorrow or grief. It's to share their hurt when they are attacked by evil people. You know, parts of your body have sympathy for one another. Did you ever notice that? Notice how parts of your body, in a sense, have sympathy for one another? You may have a bad headache. It may cause you to lose your appetite, although there's absolutely nothing wrong with your stomach. You can have a cut on your foot. It gets infected. You can have a fever in your head. Although the cut's on your foot, your head's perfectly fine. Our great high priest is said to sympathize with us. And he can, because we are members of his body. He is greatly concerned about our weakness, our pain, sorrow, the various things that afflict us. knows our weaknesses because he was made like us in every way except for sin. He came to us and was one of us and was with us. He was here. He was one of us. You know, the story is told by John Foster. Foster was a Scottish missionary to China. He was actually a professor of church history at the Union Theological College in Canton, China, for many years. And after he came back home to Scotland, it was in the 1930s, he came into the house one day in the 1930s, and he saw his little daughter crying in front of the radio. And the news on the radio was this: Japanese tanks entered Canton today. Now that probably caused some concern for some world leaders, some politicians, but people in Scotland probably hardly even noticed. Why was this little girl crying? Why was she so upset? And most of the people in Scotland probably didn't even notice. It's because she was born in Canton. Canton to her meant friends, home, school. She had been there. So when the problems of life assail Christ's people, his church, when temptations, persecutions rage against us, we have a Savior and High Priest who can say, I have been there. I can sympathize with you because I have been where you are. It is a fact of the Christian life that we will face many assaults, difficulties, and temptations. In our own strength, we are sure to fail. We are easy prey for the forces of evil arrayed against us. But we are encouraged to seek help, the help of God Himself. Let us then, He said, or therefore, for all the reasons stated, let us approach the throne of grace. You know, the throne is the seat of the King. It's the place of authority, majesty, power. God is the great King over all. He is the King of the universe. Isaiah saw the Lord. He said the Lord was seated on a throne, high and lifted up, seated upon the throne. The throne is high and lifted up. It's a place not accessible to people. It's the place of the King. The throne is the place where God primarily displays His glory and majesty. The apostle calls it the throne of grace, a place of mercy. There may be an allusion here given the high priestly imagery to the mercy seat, the top, the Ark of the Covenant. It was guarded by two golden cherubim, the place where the high priest sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice under the very presence of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives us access to the throne of grace. His high priestly service makes it possible for us to have access to God by blotting out the guilt of our sins. For this reason, we may approach the throne with confidence. We have a spiritual freedom to approach God. Ephesians chapter 2, Apostle Paul wrote, and he's talking to Jews and Gentiles in that chapter. He says, through Christ we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through Christ we have access to the Father. You know, when the Israelites saw Mount Sinai in smoke with thunder, lightning, the voice of God shook the ground, they begged Moses, they begged him, do not have God speak to us or we will die. That fear is removed in Christ, our great high priest. We do not have to worry that we won't be accepted, that we will die for daring to approach the throne of God. The apostle urges us to approach the throne with confidence. And we approach so that, or in order that, we may receive mercy, find grace, help in our time of need. Mercy for the pardon of sins. Grace to persevere and help us in our times of temptation and attack by the world, the flesh, the devil. You know, the old song says, mercy there was great and grace was free. Is true. It's true because our great high priest has gone through the heavens into heaven itself, into the most holy place for us. The breastplate of the high priest in Israel, the breastplate that he wore, had on the front 12 precious stones, 12 jewels. Each stone was inscribed with the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. In a sense, he carried the names of God's chosen people into the most holy place, before the mercy seat, where he sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice there for the sins of the people. In a very real sense, the Lord Jesus bears the names of his people, his elect, before the throne of mercy. For as the prophet Isaiah records the words of the servant of the Lord, the promised Redeemer, in Isaiah chapter 49, he says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Therefore, throne of God without doubt, without being worried if we will be accepted, because we are accepted in the Beloved One, the Lord Jesus. So all of our cries to the Lord, all of our pleas for mercy and grace should be with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, our mediator before God. All this means only one thing for those without Christ, for those who have not placed their faith in Christ alone for salvation, for all those who have not publicly confessed their sin, their need of a Savior, of an intercessor, of a great high priest to go before the throne of mercy in their behalf. For all those, all this means only one thing. You have no mediator. You have no one to intercede for you. You have no one to sympathize with your miserable, weak, sinful condition. You stand exposed to the wrath of God. And you should pray earnestly that death will not overtake you in that condition. You should pray earnestly that that never happens to you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you, praise you for your mercy and grace, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be one of us, like us in every way except for sin, that he might be the perfect sacrifice for our sin, that he might be the perfect high priest, our great high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Lord, how you help us. Thank you. Thank you, O Lord. And Lord, for those without Christ, Lord, we pray earnestly that you would convict them, that you would work in their hearts. Lord, may they see the danger to which they are exposed. They have no mediator. They have no intercessor. Lord, work in their hearts. Give them new hearts that they might believe and be saved. For your own glory and honor, we pray. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.